he has burdened my heart with. I want to read a short lesson from the first epistle of John. If you want to read along with me, turn to 1 John chapter 3, and I want to read beginning with verse 11 and read through verse 14. 1 John 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And the thought that I want to share with you for a little while tonight is the great joy of knowing. The great joy of knowing. John, in his epistles here, and you know, one of the things, I love to read these epistles of John because he's so plain. You know, he just tells it like it is. And he made this statement here very emphatically. We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know this because of this love that has been placed in our hearts. We know what happened to us when God saved us. And I want to say this, that in the beginning of this message, that I don't say this with any malice, but by the same token, I really don't care at all that people know that I feel this way. I believe one of the most worthless religious beliefs that there has ever been is the belief that a person can't know for sure in this life where they stand with God. That, to me, that's just worthless. To me, that is just a worthless religion. You know, people that go through this life doing the things that they feel like they're supposed to do, but yet having no real assurance that they even belong to the Lord. I don't want that. I wouldn't want a thing to do with that. And to be honest with you, I feel sorry for people who believe that. They need to be enlightened. They need to know. And I'll tell you what, I've always been convinced that somebody that believes that, somebody that truly believes that you can't know whether or not you've been saved, is a testimony in itself that they haven't been. They just don't know what it is to taste of God's heavenly gift. But the Bible teaches us, this is a great doctrine. And this is something that, you know, certainly ought to make all of us that have experienced God's grace very, very happy. And that is that we know that we have passed from death unto life. If we didn't know that, don't you think that it would just greatly affect the fellowship that we have one with another? And the, you know, the kindred spirit that exists among the people of God wouldn't exist if we were not able to know. We would not know that we're brothers and sisters if it were not for the fact that when God saves us, He lets us know that we have passed from death unto life. And so when we assemble and we feel the presence of God among us, as we were blessed enough to experience this morning, we can relate not only as individuals to you know, what we feel from God in our own soul, but can relate to one another in that we have experienced a kindred spirit, that we have experienced the same thing. And so, I can't imagine in the mind of Almighty God that He would ever even consider such a concept of having children in the world, scattered throughout the world, that didn't even really know that they belonged to the Lord. God, you know, when He adopts us into His family, when He saves us one by one, He does the same thing for every one of us. He deals with us in a way that we know that we got saved. I've heard that testimony, throughout my life from people all over the country. People telling their experience and telling about how that when they got saved, that they knew that God had saved them, that God had taken that burden of sin away from them and given them peace and let them know that they had been saved. The people that we read about in the Scriptures, they knew, and they testified to us under divine inspiration in these writings that they knew, that they knew, that they knew that they were saved. When you think about what the Apostle Peter wrote in the first chapter of the first epistle of Peter, beginning with verse 3, when he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now I ask you this, does that sound like the words of a man that didn't know where he stood with God? You know, the assurance that he speaks of in that. We have this inheritance that we know about. And, thank God that not only at the time of our conversion, not only at that point in time where we get saved and come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, but for the blessed assurance that we believe in and that we sing about and that we experience, where God assures us over and over and over throughout our life that we belong to Him. You know, the Bible even teaches us that I spoke about this for a moment this morning, but the Bible even teaches us that when we disobey God and when we get in trouble with our Heavenly Father, that when God brings His chastening hand down upon us, there is even assurance in that of His love towards us. We know that God is punishing us because we belong to Him. We're His children, and He's not going to allow us to get out of line. He's going to correct us. And so, in that respect, we are to be thankful for that. In that respect, we are to be thankful for God's chastening hand, to know that He won't just let us go do whatever we, think we ought to do that's contrary to Him. He will deal with us and correct us and bring us back to Him. And so there are many things that, give us evidence that support what we already know and assure our hearts as we go through life, that as we live day by day and we approach the day of death, that we can sing these grand old songs that we sing. It's well with my soul. If you're here tonight, and you know that it's well with your soul, let me ask you, Have you ever known anything in life that's been any better than that? Have you ever gained knowledge of anything in this world that's been any better than knowing that you've been saved by God's grace? I'm telling you that the person that the scholarly people of this world, if they don't know that, then they don't know as much as we know, because that's the highest knowledge that anybody can possess, that you know that it's all right with you, that it's well with your soul, that it's all right with you for eternity. We already know, we know what's going to happen to us here, don't we? We know what's going to happen to us here. We know from what we see, we know from the Word of God, I mean, we know what's going to happen to our earthly lives. We're not ignorant of that. The living know that they shall die. We know that this outward man is perishing. But isn't it great? I mean, isn't it really a great blessing that as we age, as we get older, as we feel the things that are spoken of in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes concerning our body, as we experience these things being fulfilled in us, as our steps get slower, as we begin to realize that we're weakening, we're not as strong as we used to be when we were younger. We can't endure as we did when we were younger. And we so rapidly go through the process of aging. Isn't it great to know with every new ache and pain that makes you realize that you're getting older and you're getting closer to the grave, that you're just that much more assured that, well, beyond this body, it's well with my soul. What a great knowledge. The Apostle Paul wrote about it. In fact, he wrote about it in some form in most every epistle that he wrote. He wrote about that. Among my favorite are those verses found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul said, "For we know now what part of that would a person not be able to understand? For we know." We don't think, or we don't hope, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. You know, I believe it's great. I mean, I believe it's the most blessed thing that you can ever hear from a person when you walk in, into a situation like I experienced just a few short weeks ago with Sister Ruth, Sister Skaggs, just before she passed away, to see somebody that has come to the realization that death is right there knocking on the door, and in all the calmness of her spirit to be able to say, "I'm just ready to go. I know that I've got something better." I'll tell you what, you can't beat that. I mean, there's nothing better than that. I've known people on the other side of that too. And known people that just, you know, thought they were going to die and they weren't ready, and they were just in a panic, scared to death, and they ought to be. They ought to be. But I'll tell you what, the knowledge of salvation, I mean, it's balm, it's ointment, it's soothing to the soul, isn't it? It's soothing to the soul. There's something that when that happens to you, and I believe everybody that's been saved understands this, But when that happens to you, when that's taken care of, when the soul is made secure for eternity, when you have come to the knowledge of the truth and know that you have been saved, what a joy the rest of life is, because you know what's really important is taken care of. What a great joy. You know, sometimes we may not understand. In fact, we probably don't understand at times. We read these epistles, and we may think of Paul writing them, but no doubt when he penned that epistle to the Corinthians, I wonder what he felt like in his heart. When he sat down there with his primitive means of writing, and wrote those words to them and said, we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. We know that when we die, we're going to heaven. We've got a home beyond this life. He wrote to Timothy. Paul wrote several of his epistles incarcerated, expecting to die at any moment. And I believe that towards the end of 2 Timothy, I believe he knew that he was getting ready to die at any moment. He wrote in that final epistle that he wrote to that young preacher, he wrote to him with great assurance, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's okay, Timothy. It's all right that they're getting ready to take my life, because I know what's waiting for me on the other side. He was able to write without reservation and without fear. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So, the Apostle Paul knew, didn't he? He knew. The Apostle John, he knew. The Apostle Peter, he knew. I mean, they wrote about it so plainly and so forcefully. We know that we have this great inheritance that's incorruptible and that's undefiled and that fades not away. We know that we have this place reserved for us in heaven. We know that it's being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. We know, as Paul said in his writing to Timothy, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know if they raise the sword and chop my head off, I'm going home to be with God. I have that knowledge within this earthen vessel. And we all gain that knowledge by the same means. The Holy Spirit is a great revealer. You know, if you need to know something, I'll tell you what, if there's something in here that you need to know, I'll tell you what, you'll never find a better way of coming to the understanding than to get down on your knees before God and pray that He'll reveal it to you. There's never been a teacher like the Holy Spirit. And he reveals things to us. That's his work. God communicates to us through the Holy Spirit. That's how he deals with us. And when I was lost and seeking the Lord, when I was pouring my soul out to God that night, begging him for the salvation of my soul, when God saved me, he let me know that he had done his work in my heart. And I realized that the way that he did that is just exactly the way that the Apostle Paul wrote about in the 8th chapter of Romans. The Holy Spirit spoke to my inner man and witnessed to me that God had indeed saved my soul. And there's no witness stronger than the witness of the Spirit. Listen, these people that want to stand up, these men that want to stand up and tell somebody else whether they've been saved or not, they can have that type of religion. I don't want a thing to do with it. I would not want to stand before God and have to rely on what another human being told me. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, we have a home beyond this life, don't we? We've got something that's not imaginary. Thank God that we know that we belong to God. I don't know how we get anything done, honestly. I don't understand it. I guess there's just things about that that I just don't understand, because I don't know how we would get anything done in the service of the Lord if we didn't realize that we were His children and that we were bound to Him to serve Him and to do His work, that we were those that He left here on earth for that purpose, because we are His vineyard. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know, when my children were out, when my children grew up and they were old enough, to be somewhere on their own, I was always thankful that if they ever needed to, for some reason, if somebody had to ask them, well, who's your dad? They knew who their dad was. Well, I know who my dad is. I know who owns me. I know who saved me. I know who's keeping me. And that's what Paul was saying. I know. He wasn't just talking about knowing a fact. He was saying, I know Christ. I know. I'm personally acquainted with whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. If you don't know that, that's what you need to know. That's what you need. You need the knowledge of that more than the knowledge of anything. You need to know that you know that you know that you know that you know that you've been saved by God's grace. What a wonderful thing it is. You know, I believe that not only, like I said, not only for us ourselves individually, but to be able to share with each other, to be able to share similar experience, to be able to know. I mean, you ever heard somebody, giving their testimony, and you're just like, oh yes, I can relate to that. You ever sat in somebody's presence that was giving a false testimony? I have many times. You ever heard somebody say that they knew that it was okay, with them because they were baptized in water? I can't relate to that at all. It doesn't do a thing for me. But when I hear somebody tell a genuine experience of salvation where they repented of their sins and placed their trust in God and had their sins washed away and knew that they had been saved, I can relate to that because I experienced that myself. If you look in the fifth chapter of Mark, at Mark's account of the woman with the issue of blood, when she came to Jesus, after having gone to all of the physicians and having spent all of her living and was not made better but was getting worse, when she reached out and touched the hem of his garment and put her faith in the Lord and he touched her and healed her. You read that account in the Gospel of Mark and it says she felt in her body that she had been made whole of the plague. Now I'm telling you, if you can feel it in your body, you can feel it in your soul. I did. And I'm glad I did. And I'm glad for everybody that I've ever heard testify that I know that I've been saved. Glad for my brothers and my sisters in the Lord. Compared to the mass amount of people that's in the world, we're a small group. But I'm thankful for the people, not only that I read about in the scriptures, but in the day that I live in, I'm thankful for the people that can stand with all assurance of heart and say, I know where it was that the Lord touched me. That can feel that same special thing that I feel when somebody stands up and sings, "He touched me. Oh, he touched me." When people sing those songs like, "I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I feel the Holy Spirit deep inside." Yes, I know what that means. I know what they were writing their songs about. We know that we have passed from death unto life because of this great love that God placed in our heart. He filled our heart with his love and let us know that we have been saved. You may learn a lot of things in this life. You may reach great heights of knowledge in this life, but you're never going to know anything better than what the Lord let you know the moment that he saved you by his grace. I'd like for us to have a song and have a Christian handshake. And I'm thankful that God can save us, and I'm thankful that when he saves us, that he lets us know that he saved us. And I don't really know why. It's not for me to question. But for some reason, the Lord wanted me to share that thought with you here tonight. I thank God for the things I was taught when I was just a young boy. I was among people that taught me. When I was just a boy that taught me, you need to be saved. You need to know that you've been saved. You need to seek the Lord until he lets you know. I'm thankful that I was taught that. And I taught that to my children. And I pray that they'll teach it to their children. And let's stand and sing.
Number 14.